Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's another Empowerment Saturday. Sit back. Relax. And let this thing do what it do. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Empowerment 365. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, coming to you once again live and in color for another Empowerment Saturday. It's the NAAEA. What are we all about? We're all about making sure that the needs of the African-American community are met through the development of programs and services that educate, inspire, motivate, and empower, yes, empower the African-American community. How will we do this? We will do this through politics, economics, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, culture, and education. It's the NAAEA, and that's what we're all about. And if you want to join us live, the number is 845-277-9250, 845-277-9250 for the live show. So let's talk about the NAAEA for a minute. This organization is about the empowerment of African Americans. And we all know that since we've been in this country, things have been very, very, very challenging for us. And as we continue to go through these challenges, we must understand that we have to prepare ourselves and our children and the next generation to become the best people that we can be. There are five critical areas for empowerment. That is the understanding and development and teaching of politics and the political system. Economics and the economic system and how to manage and understand capitalism. And there's athletics, which is health, wellness, fitness, nutrition. And then that is taking care of our bodies and our health, because our health is our wealth. And then that's culture, introducing cultural programs to our community so we will know our history, we will know who we are. And then lastly, a comprehensive education, developing ourselves to be a voice in our communities politically, economically, and so on and so forth. We're going to bring in my co-host right now, Stan Macklin. Are you available for conversation?
I'm here, my brother. Glad to be on another episode of Empowerment 365. Glad to be a member of the National African American Empowerment Association. And standing in the gap at the Harriet Tubman Cultural Center doing the will of God. Man, I'm excited for today's program.
All right, and that's what we do. We build institutions that define our own reality. And so I want to thank you for joining us. And I love what you're doing up there in Harrisonburg with the Harriet Tubman Cultural Center. If you're out there listening, make a schedule and a plan to go up to Harrisonburg to learn more about the Harriet Tubman Cultural Center. It is worth your while. Trust me, today our subject is going to be who are we? It's a potluck today, right? So we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of things, but we're going to talk about who we are. That's the subject of the day. It's an African-American conversation. It's a free conversation to have a dialogue about whatever's on our mind. There is no judgment. It's a free space to be able to communicate what we're doing, how we're doing it, why we're doing it. And we want to talk about the mindset, that conditioning that we've been through to be able to get us to this point. But things are changing. It's 2020. Stan, I'm going to bring in George. Brother George, he's going to do our Willie Lynch segment. Brother George, are you there?
Brother George. Yes, sir, I'm here, brother.
All right. What do you have for us? Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for the invitation, brother, and thank you for the opportunity to present to the people again. And that topic sounds like it's going to be remarkable today. Well,
oh, yeah.
I have another segment of the Willie Lynch impact on the Black community. And once again, I always refer to my brother Mark Sims with his book, Willie Lynch, why African Americans have so many issues. Today, there are millions of African Americans who don't like being black. And we all have some degree of disdain for each other. Anyone can find reasons not to like someone, but some African Americans look for reasons not to like other African Americans. We must come to a cold, hard reality that the white man is the root of all our problems. Yes, we must blame the white man. We must blame Willie Lynch. Mr. Lynch was a very wise slave owner who gave a speech instructing other white slave owners on how to control their slaves. Willie Lynch gave the slave owners his foolproof method and said it would last 300 years. Willie Lynch had a divide and conquer strategy of pitting the black man against the black woman. And it worked then, and it's working today. All of Mr. Lynch's other strategies are also working today. The authenticity of the Willie Lynch speech is really irrelevant because the strategy to divide and conquer works. It is the oldest trick in the book of tricks because it works so well. It takes a conscious, emotionally sound individual to resist the power of a divide and conquer plot. You need to have a real understanding of world history and believe in sound principles and values to be able to withstand a divide and conquer tactic.
So all right, brother. Thank you
for the Willie Lynch impact segment.
All right. You're welcome, brother. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Hey, you said a lot, brother. We're going to bring that back in just a minute. Stan, you there? Thank you, Brother George.
I'm here, my brother. I'm here. And as Brother George was laying it out, that Willie Lynch microchip, systemic embedded racism that perpetuates itself from generation to generation. It was a remarkable way of diabolically controlling us from the pits of hell. That unless we don't recognize the influence and the effect of this particular damnation, that's why we're experiencing so much ruination, because we try to get in to fit in, and it's not designed for us. We were made to be subservient, you know, slaves, cattle, property. We never was considered as part of we the people. And those abolitionists and fugitive slaves and people like Harriet Tubman fought to gain freedom because they knew there was a better way. But the effects of it is horrible, man, on our people. It's horrible. And they know it. You know, when you look at the impacts of what's happened to people of color, you look at the Asians, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, you look at the Native American, Trail of Tears, and the Black Run and all the massacres, things they've done, introducing smallpox and blankets. I mean, you could go on and on and on. And I wish I could find my book that I had. I had a book. I think the author's name was Bradley. But he said, the problem with the world is white man. That's what he said. He said that. He's white himself.
Wow.
And so That's a bold statement, man, when you look at things that have happened, especially in terms of some of the most sinister, evil, wicked people from Hitler on. It's just a never-ending story. Never-ending story.
Well, the brother laid out a few things, and I'll just kind of recap what I heard. Is that we don't like being black, and for me that means we don't love ourselves. And then we look for reasons to divide, right? That divide and conquer mentality is still with us in many ways. And that we don't like ourselves. And if you don't like yourself, how can you love yourself? If you don't like how you look, right? And who that you were made by the ultimate creator, being the original people on the planet, we have to understand our position in this world, right? We are the original human beings, right? And we
That's
have to
right.
understand
right.
that, right? When the brother then said, looking at those strategies that they use to divide us, and then understanding world history, because if we understand that, then we know our place. And then developing some sound principles. And that's what the NAAE is all about, developing those sound principles. And you mentioned we the people. And so as we construct this thing and put it together, talking about how we need to fall under, we have to live here, right? So how we fall under the Constitution. So the today's subject is, who are we? And we've been constructive. So I want to talk about this word called menticide, right? Menticide. And when you, it's almost like homicide or suicide, but when you hear that word, right, what
genocide.
Comes to your mind, right? And genocide and these different sides, but it's a systematic and intentional undermining of a person's conscious mind. It's called brainwashing, right? And since we've been in this country, we've been brainwashed. So the question today, and this is potluck, so we can talk about anything today, is on the board, who are we? Who are we? I'm going to the lines. I got 8128 roll call coming up in just a minute. I'm coming to you. It's the Empowerment Network, 8128. Marvin Rowan and Stan Macklin going to the lines. You're live. Talk to me, caller. 8128, are you available? Hey,
yes,
fine, how are you?
Brother?
All right.
Okay, I'm good. Yes, brother, I mean, your topics are always great and always relevant. Because we as the people identifying with just us as being a great people has left us for the most part. We're either collaborating with the enemy or we're being held down by it. So, and either way, you know, most of our so-called representatives or I don't want to call them leaders because they're not leading us anyway. But I will say those who are in position to make a difference, okay, has accepted this system of oppression. You might as well say apartheid when it comes to education, because most of our schools are even more segregated than they were when segregation was legal. So they succeeded with legalizing it, something that they didn't do, that they couldn't do by keeping it segregated. So they've achieved it, but they've achieved it without help, without compliance to allowing them to enact laws with no teeth, with no ability to be enforced, and no will to enforce.
Mm-hmm.
So the betrayal has been by us, on us, for the most part.
Okay,
like,
break that
because,
down for me, brother. Break that down right there.
Okay.
Unpack
because,
that for
because,
me.
Okay, well, see how it is. When since the 60s, when they start realizing that we're going to have to deal with this problem, of the black man, they said, well, what we'll do is we'll enlist him. We'll entice him with the things he's always, or we've brainwashed him to want.
you know, the material things in this country and in this world. And by doing so, you sacrifice your soul. You sacrifice your soul for being a part of this society. Anybody who, majority of black people who become upper middle class do so by turning their back on their own. I mean, I'm not saying it's exclusively so, but the only way that you can really be
Watch them toes.
Oh, absolutely. I plan to.
Don't do that.
The point is, you're never accepted. You are never, ever accepted. You will be allowed in, but you'll be allowed in based on the sacrifices that you do to your people.
True.
Do you know that there have been, that there's been research done where researchers have talked to people in powerful positions, including women, and all of them report that and have made statements in public or to the press where they have oppressed, where they have stifled, where they have blocked either their own people or their own kind to get to where the white man is. Okay.
All right. I'm going to stop you right there. I got to hold you right there. We're going to stick with you, but we're going to talk about that for just a minute. Stan, what you got?
Well, you know, now, I don't want to give a total blanket generalization like my brother he attested to, because it's a condition. I agree with that. But
right.
There are some people that are, I call them sympathizers. And they understand the plight, they understand the cost, and they're sympathizers, and they are, well, if I use the word compassionate toward the cause.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
But you can't, I don't think we can lump everybody in the same wagon. I don't think
right.
we can do that. But I
right.
do understand that being in America, the spirit is one where the black man is like I was raised up with. If you're white, you're right. If you're light, you're all right. If you're brown, you can stick around. But if you're black, get back. We're always the first of everything. You know, you got to be the first this or the first that. And, and the last hired in the first fired. That's reality.
True.
But, you know, when we identify the problem, then you can bring about some changes. But you can't bring about no changes until you understand what it is where you have to scratch where you itch. You got to understand where you're itching at. And I think you know that. I like to say, you know, I'm an African that happened to be born in America, if we will operate in our original position of who we are, first of all and foremost, we are representatives from a heavenly system, a system that is divine and unique, that is the origin of all existence, and we are on this earth for a purpose. Be fruitful, multiply,
okay.
replenish, subdue it, and to have dominion. That's what we're here for. And we've gotten away from that.
Okay. So here's the question, right? You said there's a system that we've gotten away from. What is it? I'm going to the lines in a second. What is that original system that we got to get back to? Remember, I talked about that word menticide, right? And then we're talking about the conditioning that we've had through Willie Lynch, right? So we're looking at a mental mindset and construct that has been developed for us. And no matter what level you're at, because in my mind, it's at level. Right. Things are at level, and it could be economic, it could be social, it could be cultural. So we're dealing with this system in different places. OK, so how, one, who are we? Right. Because we're not the same people that we came over here on the ships as. but also how do we get back to our original state of mind? I'm going to the line, Stan. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. I'm going to 0946. 0946 is in my Empowerment Network. Marvin Rohn and Stan Macklin. Are you there?
I am. Good afternoon.
All right.
It is good to be on the call. Good to hear.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. Is it okay if I do an update now, or do you need me to stay focused?
Yeah, go right ahead. This is potluck. You can go wherever you want to go today.
All right. I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I was upset with black criminalization, like only black people do crime and it being reported. So I wanted to give you an update of what has happened. I called 2 weeks ago, left a message. I didn't get a return phone call, so I called again this week. And when I asked for her this time, they gave me her assignment manager, who happens to be African-American.
Okay,
and
wait. Who did you call, sister? Who did you call?
Oh, Cheryl Barnhouse. She's the director of CBS 6.
Oh, okay, the CBS network. Okay.
Yes, and so when I asked for her this time, this week, they put me in touch with her, what they call assignment manager. He happens to be African-American also. So anyway, we got into a conversation, and I asked him, you know, what policies did they have in place to show that they were being inclusive and democratic about the portrayal of white crime and black crime, because there's more reporting on black crime. So he told me about his resources and all of this, and I said, well, we live in a racist system. You don't think your resources can be racist? So we had this on. I won't go into detail about the conversation, but he ended up asking me a question that is just boggles me, and I'm sure to boggle y'all that are listening. He asked me, he said, so what do you want me to do, go looking for white people? And I said, well, yeah. He is so indoctrinated, he even believes that black people do more crime than white people, because he's insinuating he got to go look for white crime. I asked him some more questions. I said, well, I'm asking you then, what do you have in place? Because he's telling me about what all they do. So finally he said, listen, you need to talk to the news director. That's who I called for in the first place. So
that's right.
She got back with me, and we had a nice tip. We had a nice, not heated, but very good conversation, yes. And
that's
so
right.
I asked her, I said, so I told her what her assignment manager said. She says, well, I can't validate that because I don't know in what context that was said. She says, but she went on to tell me what the news, they have this diversity council. They have conversations. They have this. And I said, and she mentioned that they have black people involved. I said, man, we are just as indoctrinated. I said, you can't be black in this country and raise too much noise and keep your job. You don't think we know that? And so the bottom line was, I said, what I asked for some hard numbers. So she told me, she said, well, I can't go through our internal process that we, I said, so you audit yourself. I said, that's problematic in itself. And then I said, what hard numbers can you give me to show that you are actually doing what you say you intend to do? She couldn't give me any numbers. So then I apologize. I said, you know, if I'm a little bit, you know, if I seem a little bit aggressive at this time, you know, I said, I apologize. I'm really trying to. And then she apologized. She said, well, she says, you know, I've been on the defensive also. She says, and you're right. We can, quote unquote, do better. I'm open. And she told me about this advisory council. I said, well, how do I get to be a part of this advisory council that you speak with? She says, well, you have to be voted in. I said, so how do I get in touch with this advisory council so that I can be on the council? So anyway, we ended on a good note. I called back the African-American guy, thanked him for, you know, helping me get in touch with her. He says, ma'am, I'm sure we'll be hearing from you. And so I thought, okay, well, good. I'm glad that they know that I am just not going away. So what she did was she texted me a message on her cell phone that said, "Hello, this is Cheryl Barnhouse from CBS 6. We spoke on the phone Wednesday. If you would like to provide your email address, I will send you some stories which positively portray our community. Please let me know and have a great weekend." Well, I sent her my email address, but here's what I want to point out by me giving you an update. We got to be focused, right? I never said she didn't report something positive about black people. I said that you are discriminatingly, disproportionately criminalizing black people more than you do white people. So I'm going to stay focused on what I need to stay focused on. We're going to have a conversation. I'm going to stay focused on what do you have in place in your internal audit that validates that you are trying to do something with understanding your biases and things like that. So I'm really encouraged about the conversation that's getting ready to and the a correspondence that's getting ready to go on, because I think that, you know, I know they got to keep their ratings. I know it's about the bottom line. I know it's about advertising.
Right.
And if they understand, at the end of the day, that hasn't – you shouldn't be basing crime to get ratings. That's crazy.
Mm.
So my thing is to continue to develop the conversation, and I'm going to be honored, like white on rice. I want hard numbers. But what I am going to do is I'm looking for a group of people here. I have some white allies here in Richmond, but I'm personally going to be watching CBS News every day and collecting the data. Because in order for them to refute my data, that means they have to keep data. I hope that, you know, so that's where we are. And I just want to say that what a National African American Empowerment Association has done for me is I am becoming empowered. And I am realizing I don't have to sit back and wait for anybody to do anything. As an empowered individual, I have a voice, I have capabilities, and I can make an impact. And so I just wanted to say that's what this organization is about. It's about empowering us in our community. And I'm gonna say this one last thing. You know how we don't have the history? They don't tell the adequate history in our history book. I am getting ready to talk to an attorney to see, can you pay federal dollars for something that is on the educational curriculum that is constitutional that everyone sees about American history if it does not portray the truth? Can you spend federal dollars on that and come in from the back door and say, hey, this is about accurate portrayal of American history. Racism ain't got nothing to do with it. You're not telling the whole story, and you're not telling it right. And if federal dollars are going to pay for that, our children deserve the truth. If I was in a courtroom, it would be perjury. It would be misrepresentation. It would be unconstitutional. So this is what empowerment, this is what this is doing for me. I am feeling empowered. I am on the phone. I am doing something, and it feels good to get out of that loop of just talking about it, finally doing something about it. So that's all I'd like to say. Thank you.
All right. Great report. Hold on, sister. We'll be back to you in just a minute as we go around the loop. Stan, what a great call.
That is a powerful update, because that sister, she does a saying, you know, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers. And she moved into the position of being a doer, not a do good, but a person that's promoting justice and liberty for all. And
that's
the thing
right.
I like about it, that's what standing in the gap is all about. There was a gap she saw that was being filled with something but a characterization of us as a people, and she stood in the gap and made a difference. And I like it because she held those who were indoctrinated accountable. We cannot let the house man and woman escape. They're the problem. They're the problem. Those house people, man, you know, they need to cut that out, man.
You better stop talking about house people, Stan.
Oh, they the ones
that get
home
putting
on that bleach and glow. Because they feel like they don't like the way they naturally came out of their mother's womb, black.
Wow. I heard that.
Trying to glow themselves to look like they're who they representing when they go to the workplace. Hey, it's about working in somebody's system, trying to get in to fit in. That stuff is over with. Declare yourself like your sister did and say enough is enough. That's what I'm talking about.
That's right. That's right. You better love yourself. You're listening to NAAEA Empowerment Saturday. Who are we? A potluck Saturday. We're talking about a whole lot of stuff today. If you don't like being black, then we need to have a conversation. Come on over. Oh, speaking of, the brother talked about leadership. So we're having our first leadership summit on next Saturday. Next summit is the African-American Empowerment Leadership Summit. We're going to talk about leadership, and we're going to talk about how we're developing our leadership styles. We're going to hear from our history of leadership, where we got some good leadership since we've been in this country. And then we're going to talk about what we need to do in terms of developing our leadership style. We'll have some stuff coming from the Harriet Tubman Culture Center as well. So join us for that. We'll have registration information all next week. You won't want to miss that. It's Leadership Summit right here with the NAAEA next Saturday from 11 to 1. Stan, let's go back to the lines, brother. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Okay,
let's
talking about who we are and that mental side, right? The systematic, intentional undermining of a person's conscious mind. Well, we working on the subconscious mind as well, but the sister says she breaking down the barriers because she's not waiting for nobody to do nothing. That's empowerment.
That's right.
All right, 9282, Empowerment Network. Marvin Rona, Stan Macklin coming at you live. Talk to us.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. How's everyone?
All right.
Oh, good to hear you, boy, brother.
Good.
How you doing, brother?
Brother, I'm hanging in here. Thank you, brother. Where do I start? Sister had powerful points she had to make. And Brother Stan earlier. And I'm, there's so many things I can now say, but I'm going to start with this.
Go ahead.
Our problem, I'm talking black people.
All right.
In our community is when we work to get out of our community, we work to just get myself out of the community. You know, we work to just, it's just, I'm trying to get me out of the projects instead of get us out of the projects. And we go, some of us go off and we become so-called successful. You know, and then we come back like the athletes and so forth. We come back and do what the white folks tell us to do is set up a nonprofit or somewhere that so we can have a tax write-off or something and create we paying it back. We want to do something for our community. You know, do something that's been approved by the NBA, by the NFL, by Major League Baseball, by the entertainment industry, by, you know, we're going to do something that, but we don't want to, you know, get all of us out. Out of the projects, out of the hood. See, we competing with ourselves. We competing for those one or two spots. As Stan just said, I'm gonna call it what it is. That house nigger, you know. So we can be that house nigger, and we go off and get paid. And then when you talk to a house nigger, and you try to get them to really do something for the community, they'll tell you, well, I did this, but one man can't change the world. And I said, and I've had brothers tell me this, who are up in high places making millions of dollars and so forth. Hey, and look, I'm doing this, but one man can't change the world. To which I said, then you can die trying. You know, because what black man or woman, when I use the term man, I'm incorporating the black family, men, women.
All right.
So what black man would want to be in a system, in a world, that he can't change for the betterment of his people? Why be in that system? If I can't change this system, this world, for the betterment of my people and myself, then why in the hell am I going to stay in that world? Why use the excuse one man can't change the world? Well, I want to say today on this call right here, brothers and sisters, and I don't want to sound arrogant or conceited or anything like that, I'm the one. I'm the one man who can change the world. I know I can. I am that one. Now, my greatest challenge is to convince you that you're the one, too.
You looking for the two.
That's my greatest challenge.
I heard that.
I know
you
I'm
got
the one that one man can change the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if I convince you that you're the one, then we become one, and that'll
all
be
right.
One man changing the world.
Come
you
on,
know,
brother.
Like I said before, it ain't about me. It's about us.
Mm.
Us what together can do. We can change the world. We're the one. We are
well,
the
I
one.
Like the way
I'm
he said
one.
That. I like the way
you well,
said
you,
it's about us.
One can chase 1,000 and what? Two can put 10,000 to flight.
Oh, we got
so,
to get them running then.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But until
all right, hold on there, brother. Hold on there for a second.
Oh,
hold on for a second. Man, the brother just laid it down. He talked about us, Stan. I like that,
yes,
right? We have to do the we thing now, not like I or me. We got to
right.
do the we and us thing.
Right.
Right, and
right.
it's not in a selfish way. It's the most affirming
right.
position that we love ourselves for who we are. You better look at yourself in the mirror today and say, I love me just as I am, and we're going to keep it going. Stan, what you got? What you got on that one? My brother
well,
laid it down.
He
I love this show.
He laid it down, and he laid it in his proper perspective because, you know, we've all been there where you go to what is called the pity party. Pity party
uh-oh.
Is encompassed by me, myself, and I. And when you're full of I, you're drunk on self. And,
uh-oh.
You know, you get yourself to a place where you really, you're hurting. And what does hurt people do? Hurt people
hurt
people. That, it happens
stop
all
drinking
the time.
That Kool-Aid.
Yes, when you're empowered, when you've been empowered, listen to the testimony of the sister. It brings about change. It brings about transformation. It brings about revelation.
That's right.
Okay? And that's what we
you
have to
get me excited over here, brother.
Oh, yes. When you get empowered, not being full of self, you know, that spirit of I. Look what I do. Look what I done did. It's us. It's about we. We together. You know, and you don't want to be,
said,
you know.
She said, I went out and I did something. I feel empowered. That's what
yes.
empowerment is all about.
Not just keep talking about it, but doing something about it. In her
right.
own gap.
She found
Stand
her lane. Find your
yes.
lane, people. All right, let's go
and
back to the lines. You ready?
Open.
Hey, let's congratulate that sister again. Hey, man, this is a great show. We got some beautiful stuff going on. We're going to the lines again, Stan. Are you ready?
Yes, we ready, brother.
7974. It's Empowerment Network. Marvin Ronan, Stan Macklin, are you available for conversation?
Hi, yes, I'm here.
Hey.
And so I just wanted to say that really – kudos to Benita and the work that she did in you know, unearthing a problem or a gap and then really addressing it and really pushing back on the information that she received because I think that stance of ignorance is a wall that we have to constantly break through. And I've used the word ignorance trepidatiously because I don't think it's really ignorance. It's a lack of knowledge. And I do think that people oftentimes are aware but they have their degrees of freedom not to care. And so what Benita did is force them to have to care. Now, again, whether that care is underlined in some type of fear or economic displacement or whatever you're talking about, because, again, you have to speak the language a lot of times that these people care about. And it's not really that they care about certain things. They probably, in the conversation that the person or the comment they said to Benita at the end was, I know we'll be hearing from you, right? And so that is, how far is this going to go, right? So now we have to be consciously aware that she may take this further than just her, right? And so we have to be knowing that media attention or advertiser attention, right? Because that's how they built the economic stream. That, you know, it's built on advertisements. So looking at who your advertisers are, you know, is important for when you're trying to, particularly in media and boycotting and doing all that stuff. But I say that to say that she broke past that wall of ignorance of what, in the comment of what am I supposed to do, go look for white people. I mean, that's so, we could spend a whole hour unpacking that ignorance in and of itself, right? Because we know, you know, when I was at a particular university I worked with, the police, to get race taken off of the notices that they kept sending out. They were bombarding with notices about crime, and students at this point, faculty of color, black faculty, students, anxiety levels, there was so much going on. And when we had the conversations with that Dale, race was not even something that they needed to put on it, right? Race was not one of the indicators that actually helped them find the people that they were looking for. And so eventually they took it off. And actually the type of people, or the criminals, or whoever you want to say, the people that they were looking for, which based on the research from the numbers were predominantly white. Okay, that's first of all. But they're actually, the numbers went up after they took race off. So you know, you'll hear people be drenched in tradition and practices and what they think, but until, like Vinicius said, you bring the numbers and you bring the reality of what's actually happening, people will continue to stay anchored and rooted in what they want to. The other piece here in Richmond that we know, right, with CBS 6, is that there's fear mongering that takes place, right? So, no, you don't have to go look for white people because what we know, right, particularly in crimes, is that a lot of these crimes are being committed at a higher level. But we even have to go back and unpack who's being arrested, right? So you have a police force, right? Who's being arrested for these crimes? Crimes can be committed, but if you don't get arrested, it don't get recorded, right? So we're talking about, again, what that looks like and what that privilege looks like. Who gets a ticket versus who gets a warning versus who gets a ticket when you're stopped.
True.
All of these things are important. So I don't think it's just about once the crime is committed, right, per se. You have to even backpack that. You have to unpack what happens before something is potentially committed and what that looks like and how those skew the numbers to show up. So I say this to say again that I'm extremely proud of us for doing that, and I think part of what we continue to need to do is to push up and to continue to question, and many of us don't even know what to question, right, because we've already been indoctrinated to think that what we see on TV, that someone must have did a great job of researching, and they're just bringing us the truth, right? We know that's not the case at all, but I think most of us have been indoctrinated to think that whatever we see and whatever we consume, right, and someone talked it on a previous show, but when we think about being critical consumers of the information we receive, right, and most of us aren't. A lot of us, and this is not to say, but most of us aren't critical consumers. Most of us are just kind of are passive consumers.
Well, I got to jump in here, you know, because I'm 66 years old now. Sometimes I do have senior moments, the sister said some profound things. Now, when we talk about criminals' behavior, it goes from the guttermost to the uttermost, and it basically originates at the uttermost. For instance, just this past week, Steve Bannon, who was President Trump's campaign manager. Okay?
He didn't do nothing wrong.
Come on now.
He didn't do nothing wrong.
Having that fake Build the Wall campaign.
That good old Steve ain't do nothing wrong. He's above that.
$25 million. And you know who came and got him? The FBI.
What?
Let me tell you something. These crooks with these white ties on.
Watch it, y'all. Staying ready to go in there.
White is right. White is right, and you can do whatever you want to do. That don't make it right. But I tell you, it's almost like the divine powers have said enough is enough. Pulled back, and people are being exposed left and right. It's just a matter of time for Mr. Trump to get his. It's a matter of time. That's why he won't release them taxes.
the curtain has been pulled back on the Wizard. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. And so we got to understand that, you know, they want to do some media sensationalism playing off of us, but it's really them that is the crooks. And have the audacity to incarcerate us and profit off of it. Oh, my God. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. That's why we must have institutions that define our own reality. And I just give
That's
a shout
true.
Out. I thank the Almighty for institutions that define our own reality, like the African American Empowerment Association. That's what it's about.
All right. Well, we thank you, sister, for the call.
You control the switch.
True.
Go ahead.
That's
Paul.
True.
Go ahead.
All right. So let's get back to the lines. Thank you. We're gonna try to get back to you. We've got about 14 minutes left in the show. We're going over to Brother George. Brother George, what you got for us?
Well, brother,
go ahead, George.
The show is on fire, and what I wanted to do was I wanted to give a little backing. I wanted to do some piggybacking. And I'm going to read something from a book that I think somebody would be familiar with.
All right.
This book, Faces. For among other things, I will attempt to show that racism itself is a predisposition of but one race of humankind, the white race.
Uh-oh.
I believe that I can show that our converging contemporary crisis, like racism itself, have their origins in the prehistory of the white race alone. We attribute various threats to our survival to man's folly, but this is a conscious and self-protecting euphemism. Nuclear war, environmental pollution, resource race, all are primary threats of our survival, and all are the result of peculiarly Caucasoid behavioral, Caucasoid values, and Caucasoid psychology. There is no way to avoid the truth. The problem with the world is white men. How you like that,
wow.
Stan?
Whoa,
I love
that. How you like
that,
Stan?
I love that.
The name of that book is The Iceman's Inheritance by Michael Bradley.
All
that's
right.
That's it. That's it. There
Brother
you go.
George pulled it out.
Man, I've been trying to find that. I've been trying to find it. I lost it, but I've been trying to find it. You just resurrected it. Oh, my God. That is so
Thank
profound.
You. Thank you, Brother George.
Yes, sir.
That brother went and pulled it out, Stan. Man, this is a beautiful show.
Well, I need to get a copy of that. I need that. I need to, because I've been trying to find that. Because I wanted to back what when a black man, a woman speak truth like what we're speaking, and it comes out of the mouth of a white man to back it up, because they know for themselves what's going on. That's profound. But when we just sometimes stand and say, "Oh, they're just another black," or as George, I think it was George's words, he said, "Just another nigga talking," you know. It's not that. No, we as a people have some profound insights. And when we operate in our original position, we are dangerous people.
Mm-hmm.
Dangerous in the sense of we become nation builders.
Dangerous in a good way. Dangerous in a good
in
way.
In a good way. Yes, in a good way. In a good way.
All right. Let's get back to the lines. We're going to go around one more time. We got about 10 minutes left in the show. All right. I'm going 8128. Going back around again. What you got, brother? Talk to me. 8128, you're live, Empowerment Network. You're listening to Empowerment Saturday. Talk to me, caller. 8128,
going once. Yes, I got
you,
my
brother. All right.
I got you.
Come on in. All right. We got a whole lot going on. What you got?
Your brother, you know, what we've been talking about here to a large extent is something that has been referred to as system justification. Okay, as being the system being right, being justified for its actions because they're in power. Simply because they're in power. So therefore they must be right. Right? Now, we have had scholars, black scholars, to piece together our past, our powerful past, okay, our rebellion against this system and white supremacy system for Okay, we have been rebelling. I mean, do you realize that this country was formed quickly or quicker than it would have been because of Haiti? A lot of people know that Haiti may have, well, actually, I say a lot of people don't know that Haiti was the first black nation in the Western Hemisphere, okay, before this country was even formed. And that the white folks who formed this country hastily did so because of the Haitian rebellion. Right? Now, people don't really realize you need to look into that Haitian rebellion. That was one of the
most powerful things
that they did in this world. Because this happened in the midst of slavery.
Right.
In the midst of, okay? Right? We have, I think it was one scholar that I was listening to that was saying, What white folks try to do is reinvent history every generation, rather than us being able to piece together our past or have a continuous understanding of our past. They have made us forget each generation. Right?
But we're not reinventing history. We're making history. Let's make some history like the sister did. Let's make some history like the sister did by making some changes in what we do. Thank you for the call, brother. We got to move on. We got about 8 minutes left. Stan, what you got?
Well, we do make history when we establish institutions that define our own reality. It just happens. And if we can get empower the people that we can yoke together to create our reality, We can be almost unstoppable in terms of what we can do, but we are so contaminated. We are so ingrained with this system. This society here is racist, and until we get delivered and set free from operating from its clutches, we don't know what time it is. We just don't know.
We got to break down those barriers, man. That system of conditioning. We have to break it down. We have to destroy it. That mental side that I talked about. Hey, let's go back to the lines.
Brother Reed, what he said. That what he just read, that is a white man that said that. I wish he could read it again. Brother George, read that again.
Hold on. Let me see if I can pull him in. Brother George, you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right, Stan, want to see if you can read that again.
Yes, I can. Okay, this book is racist. For among other things, I will attempt to show that racism itself is a predisposition of but one race of mankind, the white race. I believe that I can show that our converging contemporary crises, like racism itself, have their origins in the prehistory of the white race alone. We attribute various threats to our survival to man's folly, but this is a conscious and self-protecting euphemism. Nuclear war, environmental pollution, resource race, all are primary threats to our survival and all are results of peculiarly Caucasoid behavioral, Caucasoid value, Caucasoid psychology. There is no way to avoid the truth. The problem with the world is white men.
Look at that. I came in awareness of that 40 years ago. Look at that. 40 years ago. Look at that. The problem with the world is what?
He said
the
it.
The white man. Oh, my God.
All right,
God.
Brother George. Thank you for that. We appreciate you. All right, we got one. I'm going to try to squeeze in one or two more callers. Thank you, Brother George. 9560 is a new number on the board. 9560, we'll try to squeeze you in before we get out of here. Talk to us, Marvin Ronan, Stan Macklin, Empowerment Saturday. What you got? 9560, going once.
Go ahead, caller.
Going twice. You live. Go on.
They listen.
Yeah, okay. I'm going back to 09460 to close this program out. We may be able to squeeze in one more. Sister, you there?
I am here. I just want to say that one of the things that I'm learning from the show is that policies only help us maneuver the system. Mm. We have to create and demolish the system, but when we demolish it, we must put in place a just system. And we keep trying to work within the system instead of saying, no, this system has to come down. But we can't tear stuff down without giving people an alternative to say, okay, we're going to tear this down, and what's the alternative? Because this is all people know. So I'm excited that one of the things that she told me, she said, well, when I mentioned about her criminalizing black people, she says, well, in the last couple of weeks, we've had 75% of people being reported that are white that are unlawfully assembling. I said, you compare unlawful assembly to rape and murder and killing one another? And she had to think about that. But the blinders are because white supremacy, when the man talked about Western psychology, one of the things about Western psychology, they talk about narcissism. And what narcissism does is their system is project onto you their inadequacies. They project onto you their shortcoming. And so what white supremacy does, it constantly projects its injustice and victimization and make us feel like that we the problem when it really is they are the problem.
That's
so,
a whole
Brother
show
Macklin,
right there.
Brother Macklin, I'm going to send you that book if it's okay for Marvin to give me your address.
Okay.
I just saw it on Amazon, so I'm going to send it to you.
All right. Thank you, sister. We're going to slide on over to 9282. Thank you, sister. We got 2 minutes left. 9282, you're live.
All right. Kind of sum up what I've been hearing, what we've been talking about today on this excellent show. Simplify it. Two things in the world, good, evil, God and the devil. That's it. God and the devil, okay? Now, don't picture the devil as no red man with a pitchfork, a long tail, 6 feet under. Listen at how the devil is defined, what the devil is all about, and then judge for yourself who that person is. Tells you the devil who the devil is. He would spread sickness and disease over the earth. He's a liar, a murderer, a cheat, a fornicator. He is no good in him, okay? Judge for yourself who that is, okay? And secondly, our problem as a people is, and piggyback on what the sister just said, we want to change America to what we want to make it what it says it is. You know?
Yeah, right.
But we can't do that because what they say it is a lie. All right?
All right. We got to end on that, brother. We're running short on time. That's come back next week and we'll do this again. Stan, we got a closing comments from you and then we got to get out of here.
Wow. I'll tell you one thing. The lies have been told. And the story has become his story. Time out for that. Enough is enough.
All right. Thank you, Stan. Thank you, callers. Thank you for calling Empowerment Saturdays each Saturday at 2 p.m. Go out and join us on the web at www.naaea.weebly.com. Thank you all for listening. Share this show with your friends and family. We're empowering ourselves each day. Until next week, we love y'all. Peace. Change gonna come.
A change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will.